Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. In this episode, we have a conversation with John Pavarenta. John and his wife Ely are being sent from Redemption Church in Portland to do gospel work in Taiwan, and GBC is going to be partnering with them in this work too. This is an exciting and important development in the life of our church as we prayerfully desire to grow our heart and impact for global missions. We talk with John about why missions, why now, and why Taiwan for he and his wife. We also discuss who is sending John and what their mission will be, specifically how we value God's design to accomplish the Great Commission through planting healthy churches and revitalizing struggling churches. Through this conversation, I hope you come away with more insight into John and Ely's mission to Taiwan and how we as GBC can be praying for them and partnering with them in this good and important work of advancing the gospel. On this week's podcast, we have a very special guest with us, John. John, how do you pronounce your last name again?
John Pavarenta.
Pavarenta. Awesome. John and his wife, Ely, are new missionaries that Gresham Bible Church is going to be supporting moving forward. This will just be part of that whole conversation. John will be preaching for us in January. Brother, thank you for being on the podcast. We just want Gresham Bible Church to get to know you a little bit more. That's the whole point in doing this. So why don't you just kind of paint the picture for us? What should we know about you and your family?
Excellent. So excited to be with you gentlemen. If your church is half as good looking as you three guys are, I think
we have faces for podcasts.
It'll be a joy to preach to your people. I grew up in Portland way back in the day. I went to Portland Christian High School. And I've been married to Ely for 29 years. We have 6 kids. 4 are out of the house and 2 we will be taking to Taiwan with us. Aubrey is 11 and Otis is 9. So I've been pursuing ministry and missions basically my whole Christian life, but the Lord has kind of delayed. I can get back into that more, but I've been for the last 15 years or so been teaching and eldering at a couple of churches, Hinson Baptist Church and now Redemption Church, which I'm sure you guys might be familiar with.
Yes.
But I've also been working full time at UPS all night long for the past 28 years.
Wow. So just real quick, how long have you been awake when we're recording this right now?
I got up a little early for you guys. Okay. So I was up at a little after 1.
Thank you.
Okay. 1 p.m.
Right. Okay.
1 a.m. is when I'm prime. I thought that's what we were going to be doing, but
sorry, ready.
Yeah, but try to accommodate. So I've been working at, and part of the reason working all night long has been helpful for me is because I've been able to pursue schooling, pursue seminary, and then pursue ministry while still being able to provide for the family. So it is has been God's discipline of me to keep me humble and and grounded, I think, while learning, what God's plan is for the nations. My wife stays. No, she doesn't stay at home. She works. She works at a Trinity Academy, and one of my kids go there. So, if you want a tangent, there's lots of good things we could say about Trinity Academy in North Portland there for you.
Perfect. And how long have you known Todd and Camille and the Miles family?
Yeah, I was asking Ely if she had any scary stories I could say about Todd,
yes.
But I don't. I think I probably bring all the scary stuff to the relationship. But we've known Todd and Camille for more than 20 years.
Yeah,
how long have you been at Western?
This is my 22nd year.
22nd. So you were already at, I feel like I knew you before then. But anyway, so my wife said 21 years. So right after he started at Western, we were all at Hinson Baptist Church together. And so I was a student of his way back in the day.
Yeah, our kids are about the same age, though, too.
Yeah, so, our kids grew up together, played together, the ones that are out of the house anyway. And in fact, we both went through adoption. You were a little bit ahead of me in that journey, but our youngest two are adopted out of foster care. So yeah, we've been friends for a long time. We both served as elders at Hinson Baptist Church, and then when the pandemic hit, we both ran.
Man, it's over 20 years friends. That's awesome.
It has been.
Yeah. Todd, is there anything we should know about John from that 20-year history? Just want to tee you up.
Yeah, it sounds like I should come up with something funny here, but
no, I just thought I'd ask.
I'm super excited
for
our church to be able to support John and Ely. There's very few people I respect as much.
Good word. So. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're an elder at Redemption right now. Maybe let's focus on that for a minute and a way to like springboard off it. So you've pastored, you've elded in the local church.
Yeah, so I was at Hinson for over 20 years. And in 2010, about the time that I graduated from Western Seminary, we wanted to go overseas. But that door closed partly because there was this new pastor coming into town named Michael Lawrence. Mm. And he came in and did some profound work at Hinson, clarifying, you know, ecclesiology. What does it mean to be a healthy church? And really for me, what does it mean to be a good pastor and shepherd and brother, because he's been a really dear friend of mine. And so I spent a decade learning from him and then being an elder with Todd and with Michael. And about 2018, something like that, this new guy shows up named Virgil Brown, and he wanted to plant a church in North Portland, which when we found out about it, it was originally the space being used was about a mile from our house. Wow. So my wife and I had to ask, why not? Why shouldn't we join him? So as we got to know him and got to appreciate what he brings to the table, we were excited to take everything we learned from our time at Hinson and start something new. So we left with Virgil, and then Ron Mars came too. He's also a Western professor. I don't know if your people are familiar with him, but he's an elder along with Virgil and myself. And so we kind of worked away at the beginning, and I got to be a part of the birthing process, as it were, of a new church, which was super fun, super illuminating. And I really appreciate being able to, for the last 4 years, sit under Virgil's preaching. He's such a joyful preacher. Mm-hmm. And I want to develop that kind of skill, develop that joy skill. So it's been really valuable to work with him and to get to know all of these new people coming in at Redemption. And it is a sweet community there. Mm. We love our time there. We love the people there. We are actually sad to be leaving them. I think we could happily be serving at Redemption for another decade or so.
I'm going to interrupt for a moment just to give a little more context that you chose where you live also for missional purposes.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't accidental. And so it seemed obvious to everybody that when Virgil wanted to plant in North Portland, that you would be going, because it's like, it was almost like you lived there for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We moved, originally when we were able to buy a house, it was back in 2002. And we wanted to live close to Hinson. And of course we couldn't afford anything around there, but we also wanted to live where we feel like we could be of impact. And honestly, we wanted to be in a community that was a little more diverse than a lot of Portland. You may have noticed Portland is, it trends white. And at the time that area, we live right off Alberta Street in Northeast Portland, was a a real mix of a lot more diverse than the rest of our great Northwest. So that's kind of what put us in the neighborhood. And so, of course, Virgil wanted to be in North Portland for similar reasons. Now, in God's wisdom, the opportunity of a building that opened up was a little further east on 67th. But still, what we have in that community is a lot of Spanish-speaking mm-hmm. people, and actually a small Spanish-speaking church that meets in the same building after us. So that's been a whole new unexpected turn. But but yeah, that was definitely a draw. Hmm.
So just connecting the dots, let the listener understand. So John and his wife have three kids who are grown. So you can extrapolate.
Four.
Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
Extrapolate your age, midlife, safe to say.
54.
54. Okay, prime of life. Two younger kids that you've adopted. You've had a long career that you are nearing, quote unquote, retirement. And what are you doing? You are going overseas. So let's like press into that a little bit. So you said earlier, God's plan for the nations. So I know, brother, you could probably like talk for the next 3 hours about this, but help us understand the why for you and your wife to know God is moving us to advance the gospel far, not just near. Like, what's underneath that? Help us kind of welcome us into that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go, big picture and then come down more personally, but, God is great. His glory is over the nations. And we see in Revelation, every tongue, tribe, and nation will be worshiping him. We want to serve the Lord and be a part of that, and want to extend God's glory around the world. I think I've always been a little bit restless. So even when I was young and moved out, I was happy to get out of the house, happy to be away from home. And so was always pushing to be in new areas. And of course, I've been in Portland most of my life. So I've been fairly unsuccessful. But went to, in 1992, I think I was in Ukraine for a number of months, and have always just been trying to serve the Lord in new places. So the whole time at Hinson was really involved in the missions from the sending side here, going on trips, visiting workers, and just trying to live as missionally as possible. So we've always had missionaries come over and spend time with us whenever they're in town, tried to expose our kids. Whenever I was overseas, always tried to take one of our kids with us to go. And if you can spend any time overseas, one of the things that's so valuable about it is it just gives you a new perspective of home. Mm-hmm. And you start to think twice about the affluence that we have here, the materialism we have here. You start to be a little more aware of maybe some of the idolatry that it's just the bathwater that we soak in, so we don't really think about it. Pretty young, pretty early on in my adulthood, the Lord has kind of bent my brain in this way. For my wife, in God's wisdom, she actually spent the first 3 years of her life in Taiwan. Her dad is a Chinese art dealer. And so she was in Taiwan and then in Japan. So she's always had a great love for the Chinese.
That sounds like a super cool movie there. Chinese art dealer.
Yeah, yes. I didn't even know that was a job.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it has its pros and cons. So she's always had a particular interest in all things Chinese. So even when our older kids were homeschooled, they were trying to learn Chinese poorly. And then our new kids, 9 and 11, had them for a little while.
A little while.
Our kids in a home night now have been in a dual immersion program since kindergarten.
Oh, cool.
And opportunity to go to Taiwan has really struck us like about a year ago. So having Ely, and she's had her own passion to live overseas and just to be somewhere, more diverse than Portland, is just kind of a personal thing that has shaped our family to always want to serve the Lord in ways, in new ways.
So reverse engineering or walking it back, when did you have a sense that it would be Taiwan? So you've had this maybe desire, Lord, would you send me to the nations? Are you going to, I don't know, I love brother, how you faithfully served as pastor, as an elder in your local church. And you've had this kind of, I wonder if he'll do that. So when did it, when was that tipping point, right? Where you guys are like, I think this is where we're supposed to go.
Yeah. In 2010, we visited Myanmar and loved what we saw there. It was all, local missionary work to reach the unreached people of Burma. And the Lord shut that door. We weren't able to go over there. But still, and we reached a point where we felt like, here's a good one. We felt like we should stay in Portland. About 2020, the pandemic hit. And some of our friends were so eager to get out of Portland because of the politics, because of the 100 days of protests and all the drama in town. They wanted to be somewhere where it was more politically comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I had felt like, no, if we need to be in Portland because it's dark here, because there's such a great need here. If all the Christians leave Portland, then, what does that say about not just Portland, but us, that we need to live somewhere where it's just comfortable and convenient. And so we actually felt like, well, God has probably just called us to be in Portland forever because it is getting more difficult for a Christian to be a faithful light in this dark place. But about a year ago, we have really good friends from Hinson, Andy and Lindsay Matsuoka, who had been overseas and came back and were looking to go again. And they had an opportunity in Taiwan. And as we were talking with them, it struck me that about the time they would leave, which was this spring, this April, was the same time I could retire from UPS. So we were stuck with a similar question about joining Virgil with Redemption is, well, why not? Why shouldn't we go? And we haven't found a good reason for that. and so we're going. One of the things that were particularly compelling about joining the Matsuokas is we really feel convicted about the need to go with a team, to be a part of something bigger than just, my own personal passions and interests. And we love them. Theologically, we're tight with them. And so we could see ourselves serving with them and a couple other people that are in Taichung right now for a long time. So that began the process of us knocking on doors. I'll just keep going into what that process looked like for us, because I think it's helpful. We didn't just decide like we're going to go and call all our friends and say, hey, we're going to go. We'll support us. Brought it to our elders and said, hey, this is something that's come up. Will you pray about it with us? And prayed with the elders for a little while, and they felt like this, bring this to the people. So we brought it to the members of Redemption and said, hey, this is an opportunity. We want to know if this is something that we should pursue. In particular, for the people of Redemption, because they would be losing one of their elders. So we prayed as a people, we fasted as a people. And over that season, they decided April or May, Redemption decided to send us. So they are sending church. So that process has solidified our confidence in what we're doing, what we're trying to do.
John, I love how you're kind of zooming in on that piece of it, that it wasn't just you guys feeling compelled, but you submitted yourself to your fellow elders, to the members of your church, so that your church is actually sending you and it's in process of a healthy church. Brother, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. That, praise God.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, part of what our journey has taught us over the last 15 years is just God's love of the church.
Amen.
That he delights over his people, and he has a particular plan for his people. So his work of missions across the nations is a church based ministry.
Amen.
And so we want to go, and also just, as Todd could attest to, I'm a sinful dude, and I my thinking is not always on straight. So it's not enough for me just to feel passionate about wanting mm-hmm. to do something. There's 10,000 things I'd love to just jump up and do right now.
Yeah.
Slowing myself down and bringing it before the people, then when the people affirm it and the people actually choose us and call us to go, mm-hmm. Man, that puts some wind in your sails, gives you confidence.
Amen, yeah.
So when difficulty comes, because we've already had some difficulty, you don't have to second guess, like, did we do the right thing? You know, maybe this is the wrong place, whatever. It's like, no, the people have chosen, and God works through his people. And so we haven't really had any doubt about what we should be doing since the church decided this is what you're doing.
I'd love to hear more in a minute about where you're going. So Taiwan, help us understand the opportunities there, the culture, the challenges. Redemption's your sending church. What missions organization is helping you? And could you kind of speak to the why behind that too?
Yeah, excellent. And it fits in really well at this point. Reaching and Teaching International Ministry is a fairly new organization. It's been sending, in the process of sending full-time workers for about a decade. And part of the passion and theological conviction of Reaching and Teaching is that the work of missions, the authority and the drive needs to come from the local church. Mm-hmm. Their priority is that both the church that's sending and then the church that's receiving, if you're going where there is a church, mm-hmm. has the authority over the process. And they're just the, the kind of connecting the dots in ways that, you know, that churches just don't generally have the know-how or skill set of a lot of the finances and mm-hmm. connections and different things yeah. like that. So Reaching and Teaching is a very valuable organization that we theologically are very tight with how we feel about God's purposes and how God wants to work. And it's all bringing back to the local church, the passion for the nations.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Maybe in the show notes, we could throw a link.
Sure.
In there so people can learn more as well. So
can I ask how yeah. did, cause I bet our congregation would wonder this maybe for both Mike and John, how did GBC mm-hmm. come to say, hey, we also want to be supporting
great
as well as you guys are doing this?
Yeah. I can speak to the GBC side of things. So, elders have been thinking, praying, talking for the past year and a half. Yeah, on kind of what our priorities are. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound cheesy, but kind of the vision, points of emphasis. We have four of them. One of them is growing in global missions. Real quick, GBC has heard me say this multiple times, but real quick. So GBC has been in existence for 17 years as of the recording of this podcast. We have a map up on the wall in our office, and there is one missionary on that map. And we love Matt and Sharon Mormantz. Yeah. GBC is their sending church. But at this point, we're 17 years old. We're ready to move out of mom and dad's house. Like, shouldn't there be more missionaries on the board? And so we've been praying about this, mm-hmm. seeking the Lord on it, building kind of a team and process. Joe Bryant's been running point in the elder team. And then in God's kind providence, brother, hear of what you guys are doing. So many connection points. You guys' long-term friendship, mm-hmm. you're an elder at Redemption.
Yeah.
We're pretty slow on the uptake, but that one was even like, you know what? This one seems like there's a lot of boxes checked. So long story short, elders met with you and your wife over the summer, hang out over dinner at the Miles house, get to know you more, your mission. And there's just so many things in alignment. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the church would want to know about that. That's great.
Yeah. And we'll share more about that
sure.
too. But yeah, John, anything you'd add on that side?
Just that we as a family are the first being sent by Redemption, and Redemption being a new church plant, we're still very small. So we may have a lot of passion, but we don't have a lot of resources. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of experience as a congregation in how to be a sending church.
Sure.
So in that sense, we love the partnership that both churches can do together. And there's a couple of other churches involved as well, but that the churches can do together to do the work. I think it's, we're called to be a family, but we're also, both churches are, you know, we're sisters, we're doing the same work. And the more we can support each other in what we're trying to do is a win for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Great question. Thank you. All right. So John, help us understand and maybe like picture with you, what's Taiwan? Like, just kind of help us understand the culture and then focus in on the church you'll be going to.
Yeah, Taiwan is really a unique spot on the map, because it is such a real strong bridge from east to west. I listened to a podcast about the news in Taiwan, and they brag about being the freest nation in Asia. Mm-hmm. So they're democratic, capitalistic. They have the technology and really highly developed. And even for all the good and the bad of Western influence, that's the trajectory, at least culturally, of the people and the nation. And they're looking for closer ties. The government has stated that they want the nation to be bilingual in 2030.
Wow.
Currently, it's Mandarin is the official language. For those who don't know, the Chinese government fled the Communist Party of China in 2049, I think. 2040, yeah.
Maybe 1949.
I said, that didn't sound right.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Wait, we're still in the future? Come.
Yeah, they're going to flee again.
may very well.
That's far enough out. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So Mandarin has been the official language for quite a while there, but their ties to the West are growing, and in very practical ways, they want it to grow further. But the 95% of the people are Chinese. And a lot, you know, Han Chinese. And so culturally, I have a friend that's Korean, and he likes to remind me that for the Asian, your family goes back not just like, it goes back 5,000 years. Mm-hmm. And so culturally, the people are still tied to their heritage and to their family, to the point that, you know, they have festivals where they worship and pray to their ancestors. You can, if you're in Taiwan, you can see these, they look like barrels that are on the ground where people go and they burn money. They burn fake money. They buy money to burn the money. To send it off to their passed on ancestors or to themselves when they die, you know, so that's still the Confucianism, the Buddhism, the ancestral worship, all of that, you know, the temples, all of that that you might expect from mainland China is still there, still a part of the people. I think that the number is probably about 5%, give or take a tiny bit, of Christians there. So the vast majority of the island is enslaved by these pagan traditions. And the government, the country moving more towards being bilingual. They have most of the schools now are teaching in English and Chinese. And in particular, a big city like, which we'll get to, Taipei and New Taipei, is where it's all the international influences there. So a lot more English speaking people. Probably about a quarter of the nation, I think, speaks bilingually, speaks China, English as well right now. So if you would think of missions as climbing a mountain, Taiwan is a real great base camp. So you can go to Taiwan and acclimate. So I've been to a number of Asian cities, but this was the first time when we went in October to actually be in Taiwan. And it actually seems very livable, very like it wouldn't take me long to be able to figure out how to get around. There was a guy that I met there that was selling, he was an Australian that was selling stuff at a market. And he said he had been there a decade and it's never learned the language. And that's just to speak of how reasonable it is to get along there.
Interesting. Yeah.
As someone from the West. Now we plan on learning the language. So it's a great bridge from East to West. That is very compelling for someone like us. I think it opens up a lot of opportunities for churches in the Northwest who want to influence the Mandarin speaking world with the gospel. And the work that I will be doing will be to begin with all in English. So it's a place where we can just jump in and start work right away.
Is Christianity free to be practiced there, unlike yes. China freedom as an underground religion, church and stuff? Yeah.
Freedom of expression. Mm-hmm. It is a freedom of assembly. They're still learning as a nation what it means to be democratic mm-hmm. and free. Up until I think the 80s or early 90s, they were still authoritarian. Going over there, I likely will have a visa that's as a religious teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very different than some Eastern countries.
And in mainland China, of course, that you wouldn't be able to get in the door that way. It's very accessible in that sense for a lot of normal people to get involved in missions.
Does religion have any part of their governmental system, or are they almost Western in that separation?
They're secular that sense. There is the cultural.
Yeah.
That's a little like, when America was founded, was religion a part? It's like, well, yeah, I mean, culturally, yeah, it's kind of central to a lot of the reasoning. But as far as the government structure,
sure.
No.
Okay. There's so much here I want to unpack, but let's double click on the side of the map that you're going to. So maybe help us understand a little bit the city and the church you're going to. And then you called that out a little bit a few minutes ago. What are you going to be doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when we first started knocking on the door of going over to Taichung, so if you see a map of Taiwan in the center on the west coast between mainland China and Taiwan, there's the little city of, well, not little, it's a couple million people, of Taichung is where my friends are at, where mm-hmm. They're actually, in the next week or two, they're going to covenant together as a new church. Mm-hmm. They've been meeting. So our original plan was to go join them, jump right into most of the ministry would be language learning and building evangelism and discipleship from that and from that church that's about to covenant together. But we were connected with an opportunity in New Taipei, which is 100 miles north. The north and New Taipei is a city that actually literally wraps around Taipei. And very highly developed. The whole area has probably more than 7 million people in it.
Wow.
There was a church named City Light Community Church that was planted in 2019. Just before Redemption was. They are a mix of locals and international expats together they are bilingual. They preach in English and it's translated to Chinese. Their founding pastor, after a couple of years, had some family issues and other stressors and had to leave Taiwan. And he's, I think, a pastor in Texas right now. So for the last couple of years, that congregation has been faithfully served by two lay elders who are not pastors. Mm. They both have other jobs that they do, but they've just been holding those people together and trying to minister to them along the way. And me having spent, you know, so many years and bivocationally, both working and trying to serve the church, really feel that experience. But they've been looking for a head pastor. So I was connected with them over the summer and actually went and visited them in October and preached to their people and just found out about a week ago that they've called me to be their lead pastor. So I will be the lead pastor of City Light Community Church. Yeah. So even now I'm starting to have like elder meetings with their elders, and the joy of and the curse of video communication for those who love or hate it. It really allows us to begin the work even right now with the elders and with the people there. And so we're starting that dreaming process with them about next steps until we arrive there, which will be in June. Hmm. At least that's the anticipated plan, Lord willing. So, yeah, lead pastor.
Yeah.
Cool.
Man, just processing what you're sharing, John. So excited for you and your family and God's good purposes for his church. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Just to get a quick sense, so I'll be preaching in English. It'll be translated to in Chinese. And we'll still have to learn the language. Mm-hmm. So right now, one of the things we're prayerfully evaluating, I don't think we will know until we're actually there doing the work, is that work balance. How much, because I could just full time just do pastoral work. I mean, I have 1,000 things I'm ready to begin right now. part of just, we'll get into the vision for City Light, but just being a faithful pastor of a people is knowing the people, and being able to speak their language is super important. So just basic evangelism. Yeah. There's a lot of doors that can open up just as I struggle to learn the language in the midst of the community. Mm-hmm. And a lot of discipleship. And there will be a lot of, I think, profound evangelistic opportunities, even as an English speaker. Over there.
Real quick, before we hear more of the vision you shared before we started recording, you get to preach a sermon to your new church, albeit via technology, not in person coming up. What are you going to preach? What text are you going to open and why?
Yeah. The elders asked me to preach on December 28th, a vision for the new year. But he specifically said it's not a vision about what I as a new pastor will be doing, but more a vision of God. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's no better place to get a vision of God than Isaiah 6, where chaos is reigning in the land. It's coming, and there's spiritual corrosion. There's political threat, and Isaiah is getting an impossible assignment handed to him. Go speak to a people that will refuse to listen to you. Mm. What is going to motivate Isaiah to do something like that? Yeah. Well, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne, and just that meditation on the greatness of God and the terrifying experience of seeing that God and being forgiven by that God is what gave Isaiah his life calling to where the end of my section, verse 8, who is going to go to speak to this people? Isaiah, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, for my family, for my own soul, but also for the people of City Light, that what kind of like if you're learning a sport and you just go back to the basics of what are we doing? Why are we here? There's nothing more basic to the Christian life than the greatness of our God. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what makes everything make sense. So I'm looking forward to doing that preaching assignment.
Amen. All right. How about, man, there's so much I'd love to talk about. We'll have more opportunity, Lord willing. Talk about your new church, City Light. What is kind of the vision? And I'm not saying that from like a corporate-y throwing ism words around, but like what is getting your heart right for that local church and then for the sake of the advancement of the gospel?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's I would, if I were to paint a picture, I would not call City Light unhealthy. I would call it undeveloped. Because when we were there and I finished preaching to them, and just at the end of the sermon, watching the people talk, you could just see the love that they showed to each other, and the care that they have for each other. And a lot of it they credit to the two lay elders that had served them.
Praise God. Yeah.
There's just a warmth. And coming in to visit, we had a thousand meetings with different families and different groups, talking about, you know, mostly just getting to know them. You know, the warmth and the love of Jesus in the community is really rich. And they, I think, don't really have a clear understanding of what it means to be a healthy church and really God's design for why the church is put together the way it is, and why actually scripture guides us in the structure and in the mission of what the church should be doing. That God, in Ephesians 3, God's design is that he would manifest his wisdom through the church. To that end, that's one of the things that I'm passionate about helping bring is, and what they want really is that vision and that leadership. As far as the people, they're a very mixed group. I said it was a mix of locals and internationals. You could think of it broadly in three groups. One group is Morrison Academy is an international school that was in Taipei for a long, long time and now moved to New Taipei. The district that we'll be in is called Linco, on the edge of New Taipei. And the church basically planted alongside with Morrison moving there. So probably a third of the congregation are international workers from the U.S. and other places that are teachers and involved with that school. Another third would be the local citizens of Taiwan there. And speaking of City Light, most or a lot of those local people had grown up in the area but left to study abroad. And so they were bilingual. So most of the congregation is bilingual. But then they've either come to know the Lord when they were in English-speaking places, or else they've, grown up in the church here. But really, we could get into some of the issues with the church in Taiwan. But they're at City Light, but that's about a third of the congregation. The other third are missionary workers. So you've got people from the IMB, people from YWAM, people from and the Nazarenes. I don't know all of the different groups, but right there, you can see the theological diversity in the congregation is probably the most repeated questions I got was like, how are you going to manage all of the theological views? My response would be, I'm going to preach the word. Let the Spirit of God work in time. Yeah, I'm very congregational in my conviction, so I don't feel like I, even as a lead pastor, can come in and just say, "Oh, this is what we all believe now. This is what we're going to do." I feel like as I faithfully, because I have very clear theological convictions, and I think what Taiwan really needs is theological clarity to come in and preach as I see the word and allow the people to recognize or see that in scripture, why we have particular theological convictions. And then in time, as the people appreciate that and agree with that, I think the Lord will clarify things and bring some uniformity. But I
appreciate where you're coming from, that God's Spirit uses God's word to, build God's people, and that your posture, even just seeing you right here, people can't see this on the podcast, but it's to love that church well. So brother, amen, preach the word and love people. And yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when this, in the summer, it gets very hot there. Right now it's in the, I think in the mid 60s there. So in the coldest time of year.
That sounds really nice.
I know. I'm looking forward to leaving a little bit of this cold behind. But on the other end, in the summer, it's blistering hot. Mm. So a lot of the expats leave.
Oh, okay.
So the size of the congregation will actually drop to about the size of a small group. Even now, there's probably about 50 members, maybe 90 in attendance. That's what I've been told. And so if two-thirds of that go for the summer.
As soon as you show up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
No correlation. Yeah.
Here I come. Okay. Pack your bags.
Yeah, John's here.
So my vision, what I feel like is right and proper, is to strengthen and build up, in particular, the local congregation there. We'll see how the Lord blesses the work. You have to preach to and minister to the community that you have. But especially coming in as an older gentleman, you know, I'm not going to be there forever. And I told the people, it's like, you know, what I would like to do is leave, basically work myself out of a job. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm done in Taiwan, there will be local leadership with local elders, mm-hmm. At least a mix of local and international elders, and a lead pastor that's local. So that way, if for some unknown reason all of the international people have to leave, you have a healthy, stable church that will continue on into the next whatever comes next over there.
Yeah, that's good. How about, seriously, brother, I appreciate you coming in, and there's lots more we could talk about, but you'll have opportunity to share this more, but just as we have opportunity right now on the podcast, how can Gresham Bible Church be praying for you and your family? How can we support you? And please embrace the awkward in terms of even like financial support and things of that nature. How can Gresham Bible Church truly be a partner with you?
My wife and kids would be rolling their eyes right now because I often tell them it's okay to be awkward.
Yes, it is.
And I demonstrate Amen. That regularly with my family, and sometimes they don't appreciate that. So I appreciate.
I embrace that. It every day. Yes.
Yeah. I would say, this process of leaving Portland to move to Taiwan at this stage of life has surfaced a lot of issues in my own soul, a lot of sin, a lot of pride, a lot of anxiety that I really didn't think that I had issues with anxiety. But now with the changes and so many things happening, so pray for peace. Okay. And for just confidence and rest in our great God, that if He has called us, if our people have sent us, He'll provide what is needed, and He'll make sure that, not that I can kick back and not work hard, but I can work hard with a rest in His provision and Him connecting the dots. So that's kind of the big thing, the logistical thing, process of visas and doing what we need to purge our house and prepare. My daughter's going to be graduating and moving into our house while we're gone. So we'll have some prep for that. And then all the stuff for moving is just 1,000 things to pray about, the logisticals. And then financially, we need to raise the support. And I found a real personal encouragement. Some of the people that I haven't talked to in a while, but when I tell them what we're doing and the way that they jump in, really what I found in this support raising season is a lot of new shepherding and pastoral opportunities, discipling opportunities. Mm-hmm. After I meet with you guys, I'm going to go to happy hour with a friend that I just met because we went to the Foo Fighters together.
Nice.
And I didn't.
Nice. Yes.
Yes. And I didn't, know him before, but basically my other friend that is supporting us, connected the dots so I could get to know him. And it's really not about support. It's just about helping this brother love the Lord better and get connected more solidly with the church. So a lot of these things I've discovered in casting vision for Taiwan has been an opportunity just to encourage the brothers and sisters that I've been with about pressing in to trusting the Lord and to following the Lord. There's been a couple of people that have, I think their faith has been awakened out of a slumber over this season. So pray for more of those opportunities of just discipling and evangelism from just casting the vision of what we're trying to accomplish. Love the aspect that Gresham Bible as a congregation has jumped into support. So we feel convictionally that if a church is going to send someone, they should know that person. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to getting to know not just you beautiful men, but the members.
Say more.
And it's the beard.
Man,
it's
thanks. The beard. Yeah.
And then if any of the members feel that this is something that they want to invest in, we're hoping that this will be the first steps of a longer relationship with Gresham Bible. And even as we go, after we go, just the ties continuing between Redemption and Gresham would get tighter and tighter. Yeah. We feel like our ministry is an extension of what Redemption is doing. And just as Redemption is just trying to get their feet wet in missions. Hopefully, if the Lord blesses us with a healthy church in Taiwan, man, the door's opened for some of your people that if your people like, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't know where. Well, now you've got like, you know what? Maybe you should spend a season in that base camp and just acclimate to living across culture and see how the Lord guides that. I think that having a healthy church in Taiwan can open up a lot of doors for your members.
Amen.
That's great.
Amen to everything you're saying, John. I'm really excited, brother, for you to preach and get to know GBC more in January and for our church to really come alongside you and have this be a real partnership for the glory of God, advancement of the gospel, brother. So, yeah, man, seriously, I'd love to talk more. But we should probably wrap at this point in time. Anything else we should speak to, guys? Anything? No? All right.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, John, thank you. So as always, Gresham Bible Church, if you have any questions, comments, or anything, again, you'll be hearing a lot more about this moving forward, but please feel free to reach out to me, and you can do that at mike@greshambible.org. And until next time, we love you, Gresham Bible Church. Thanks.